Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome to a special edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We've got a two-hour show for you today, and we're in beautiful Columbia, Mississippi, at the headquarters of the Marion County Development Partnership. These wonderful ladies are so gracious, they invite us down here every year. We still haven't figured out why, but we always accept the invite. And Lori Watts is with us right now, and she is the CEO here of the MCAP. And Lori, as always, thanks so much for having us here.
Thank you for coming, Bob. We always enjoy having y'all come and visit with us and help us get the word out about how great Columbia is.
My goodness, you have pizzas and wraps and brownies and everything for us, and Kelly ate for me and you and Caroline, and he's happy now. Look at him.
I'm going to take a nap.
He described himself, Michael, as a llama, and he said, you know, llamas will just eat until they blow up. And we're looking at Kelly going,
I'm pretty close.
Does that feel like the Hindenburg? Wait, is that too soon?
The Hindenburg is a blimp, not a llama. Oh, wait a minute.
It was a Zeppelin.
The Hindenburg.
It went up in flames.
One. That's a new one, Kelly.
Yeah, it went up in flames, didn't it?
It did.
I think it did.
Kind of like this show already is.
Hey, Lori, it's delightful to be down here. And I told you when I came in today, I begin to get the Christmas spirit when I see you every year, because we come down here every year to kick off Christmas in Columbia, and this year is going to be another great year, and it all starts tomorrow.
It does. Tomorrow, we have more than 25 merchants and businesses that are going to be open, hosting our Columbia Holiday Open House, and they'll be all across the city from 5 to 9 tomorrow night with extended shopping hours, and then again on Saturday from 9 to 3. So.
And I think there's been a little confusion about the Christmas festivities down here, but they're still alive, and you guys are still doing the nativity scene, the spectacular angels up on the roofs of all the businesses. So talk a little bit about everything that's going to happen between now and Christmas.
Sure. So every weekend we're having what we're calling Festive Fridays with extended shopping hours. We have the lights and on the buildings that are synchronized to the music in the downtown area, so that will be going on as usual. And on Festive Fridays, we'll have extended shopping hours. The businesses downtown will be open. And then each Saturday, we're having special events. Saturday, December 7th, is our Spirit Saturday, the Spirit of Hope, with community caroling and a block party. And then on the 14th, we're going to have specific charitable activities that will be our Spirit of Charity. And then the Nativity is December 19th, 20th, and 21st this year, and that's our Spirit of Faith celebration. So
for anybody that may be listening on our podcast and other parts of Mississippi that haven't seen the nativity scene, explain that, because it's live. It's really quite spectacular.
It is. We have more than 80 local actors who participate in that. The story of the first Christmas is told with characters on the rooftops of some of our downtown buildings, and spotlights and music. It's really quite a production and a presentation. And then there's a procession of the nativity characters that come down Main Street, and it finishes at the at the courthouse in a traditional manger scene type situation with a celebration of fireworks after that. And it's just it's a really moving time for our whole community as well as the people who visit, because it does sort of solidify that Christmas spirit, right, and what it's really all about.
And if you see the angels up on the tops of the buildings and you don't get chill bumps, you don't have a heartbeat. Tell people what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. There are multiple angels that line the rooftops of the buildings along Main Street as the procession is taking place down the street with the Magi and the shepherds and additional angels. So it's really a spectacle to come and see it.
Yeah. Without calling anybody out, we know of other towns, communities around South Mississippi who have said, gosh, if we could bottle what Columbia had for Christmas and bring it to our downtown area, it would be really something. So what is it? Is it just the experience that you guys have been doing it a little bit longer? Or what is it that you can put your finger on that makes it so unique in Columbia that other communities haven't figured it out yet?
You know, there are a lot of things that contribute to our ability to be able to make that presentation. Our street is aligned in such a way that it sort of becomes a venue in itself. But then our community really comes together to make that presentation and to make visitors feel welcome. And so there are a lot of things that add to that. I wish I knew the exact magic, because then we could maybe bottle it and spread it everywhere.
I think the point you make about people in the community getting involved is important, because even though the MCAP actually puts it all together, you can't do it by yourself. And you were talking about 80 actors. Well, there's 80 people right there getting involved.
Exactly.
That aren't necessarily, you know, members.
Right.
So how can people find out, like, a schedule of times, days, so on? Where's the go-to place on the internet or wherever to where people can keep up with everybody?
There are Facebook pages, Visit Columbia MS Facebook page. There's also visitcolumbiams.com website, and then the Main Street Columbia page and the MCDP page share that on a regular basis. We share all those events, so if you follow any of those pages, you should be able to access the needed information to be here at the appropriate time.
How did all this get started?
Well,
I think it was the birth of Jesus.
Yeah.
Good point.
I'm aware
good
of that.
Point,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Good point.
Leave it to Mergens back there.
He's here every night.
Yeah.
At 7.
Several years ago, we had a prominent businessman who decided he wanted to invest in creating an event in the downtown area, and he really was the impetus behind it that kicked it off in the beginning, and it's gone through some morphing since then as to what it's been each year, but we have to give him credit for that idea and for kicking off that idea of the fact that downtown Columbia could have a Christmas celebration like no other.
So tomorrow night really kicks off the whole, I guess, 2 months almost of festivity.
Just about, yeah. It is about 2 months. And yes, tomorrow night kicks it off. The event this weekend has been going on for 30 years as a holiday open house. But this is really the first year that we have promoted it as a community beyond our local community. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited to offer that hospitality to our neighbors and our region, mm-hmm, and ask them to come and see us and celebrate with us.
To put all this in perspective, give our listeners some numbers on the number of people in a given year that come enjoy Christmas here.
Well, different years have been different, but in recent years, our highest number was almost 300,000 people that came during the season. And that was that. I will have to say that was when our ice skating rink was at full speed. So it was a big attraction, but we continue to have great crowds. Mm-hmm. The nativity always draws a crowded street to view that. Mm-hmm. So we're excited that we're still able to do that.
Parking is always one of my pet peeves. I want to make sure that there's plenty of parking. Of course, Bob Getty gets the golf cart service right up to the front door. I have to park at Columbia Academy.
You have to know somebody for
and
that.
Walk.
Well.
So, what do you recommend?
There are multiple parking lots available around the downtown area. We typically do, as time gets closer to those things that bring a crowd at one time,
right.
We do publish on our Facebook page and so forth parking maps that show the different lots that are near downtown and around the area so that people can get to them easily.
How do you coordinate with law enforcement with all these moving pieces?
Oh, our local law enforcement is incredible. They assist us with so many street closings, if we have to do that to move people around, move the crowds around, they assist us with all of that, and they have been I can't give them enough praise.
Well, you couldn't do it.
Really? No, we could not do it. We absolutely could not do it with just volunteers. So,
you know, we just saw Small Town America speak its voice Tuesday. Real quickly, one of the great things, though, are Christmas parades, and this town has a wonderful one. When you come back on the show later, I want you to talk about the Christmas parade.
I would love to do that, yes.
All right, Lori will be back with us. We're about to hook up with Andrew Abbey. Following that, Jason Baker. We're going to get into some Southern Miss sports as we broadcast from the Marion County Development Partnership in beautiful Columbia. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road, 2-hour edition for the Marion County Development Partnership here in Columbia. Lori will be rejoining us. We just found out the Clydesdales are going to be here, so we've got to talk about that as well when we come back. Right now, I want to talk to Andrew Abbey, sports writer for Pine Belt News, a regular contributor to the show. We kind of lured Andrew into becoming a regular contributor to the show. Andrew, have you gotten the first check yet? No, I don't think he's with us. Maybe it's because he didn't get the check. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Okay. Andrew, you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you, Andrew. You hear me?
Yeah, I said I'm still waiting for that check.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, we're good. I didn't hear that part. Every time someone asks me about their check, I have some technical trouble here with the equipment, Andrew. I'm not really sure.
The cell signals are really bad.
Yeah, the cell signals are pretty shaky. How are you, my man?
I'm making it, you know. I feel like I've gone through two elections with the national one, and it feels like the football coaching search is one, too. So, you know, I'm ready to just kind of sit back and relax.
I got you. All right, well, update us. Can you share any information about the coaching search?
Yeah, I actually can share a good bit. So I guess to start with, I can tell you who's not a candidate. I know some people have advocated for Shannon Dawson. He's not one. Blake Anderson, former Utah State coach, he is not one. From what I've kind of gathered, Sertan is not one either. That's what I've gathered with that. I know they're contacting people for interviews, to set up interviews at this point. I do know Derek Nix and Brennan Marion are still in the mix. That's all the name. That's all I know for certain. You know, I suspect things will kind of dry up in the coming days as the interviews start to unfold, and you know, Southern Miss tends to try and keep things quiet.
I want to talk to you about Derek Nix for just a second. What a fascinating name! Of course, great player here. A guy that There's got to be something extraordinary about him, Andrew, because, you know, you had two or three coaching changes at Ole Miss, and none of those incoming coaches wanted to lose Derrick Nix. I know he's now with Hugh Freeze over in Auburn. Do you think Derrick Nix is a serious candidate in Jeremy McClain's mind?
You know, I don't know. Honestly, I still don't quite know what's going on in Jeremy McClain's mind with this coaching search. You know, he's an alum, and I'm sure that helps his case a little bit. But, you know, he struggled. He has struggled at Auburn as the OC there. And, you know, yeah, he is a very well-respected assistant coach, like you mentioned, really at Ole Miss and Southern Miss. But, you know, the recent body of work, I don't know how much that helps or not helps him. So we'll wait and see. You look at Jeremy's last two coaching hires, they were both OCs. I just don't know if that's the direction he goes into, since it hasn't quite worked out for him. But again, I genuinely can't say what's going on in Jeremy's mind right now.
Andrew, two people who continually come up in conversations seemingly with the fan base is the offensive coordinator with Kurt Cignetti at Indiana, who happens to have the last name of Shanahan. Is very popular in the NFL. Of course, you know, everybody knows about the Shanahans. And then the defensive coordinator at Indiana as well. Both of them were in the Sun Belt with Kurt Cignetti at James Madison. Any word on either of those?
Yeah, I've heard more with Shanahan more than, you know, Indiana's D.C. My question with him is, you know, his entire career has been with Cignetti, so I just don't know, you know, what is he like as a coach without him? You know, obviously he's been successful, but, you know, can he somehow show that he can pave his own way is perhaps my biggest question for him. Go ahead.
And I was going to say, and one of the things that Jeremy McClain, I think, said is, you know, head coaching experience, or maybe he didn't say this, but it seems that head coaching experience was going to be a little bit higher on the list this time, maybe some head coaching experience.
Well, he had said that the it's wide open, and I do believe that's how he's approached it. But and I'm working on a story about the search firm that they're using. The search firm and their last two big hires was James Madison and Tulane, and both of those guys have head coaching experience. I kind of, from what I've gathered in my very early workings of this, that seems to be the way they have gone with some of their hirings that they've assisted in. So, you know, you have to wonder how that works out. You know, I've heard the guy from Mercer has been in the mix a good bit. Haven't heard if he's gotten an interview or anything like that, but, you know, it's hard to say.
Andrew, from you being out in the general public and talking to fans, which has, in your opinion, more support, a coach with Southern Miss ties or a coach without Southern Miss ties? Where's the needle pointing in what direction from your experience?
Well, I think fans want somebody who's, you know, not from, or who doesn't have, like, direct ties, I guess is the best way to say it, a bit of an outsider. But, you know, I think the safe way to look at it is fans who, whether they want somebody with ties or not, I think everybody wants somebody that's a little bit of out-of-the-box thinking, you know, trying to, you got to get this one right. So that's the big thing, and that's the way I've kind of judged it.
How important do you think this will be, age? And I ask you about age for this reason. Some of the older school coaches don't like the transfer portal, just not familiar with that kind of stuff, like the old way of doing things. Obviously, the younger you are, the more attuned you are to social media, the more attuned you may be to the transfer portal and all the craziness in college athletics. How important a role do you think that will play, Andrew?
Well, the old way is dying. I mean, whether you like it or not, it's the new game that you have to play with recruiting, whether it be the transfer portal or just recruiting, you know, high school kids. So you have to have somebody who can juggle that. And, you know, there are older coaches who have figured it out. The way they deal with it is by leaning on their younger members of their staff. But, you know, I don't know how much age is a factor for Southern Miss. I think I think their goal is to get somebody who can come in and win for 2 or 3 years and kind of secure things financially, but also kind of reestablish the brand. You know, I don't think they're looking for somebody. I mean, if they get somebody who sticks around for long term, great. But I think I kind of get the feel they need somebody who can come in and just win right away.
I understand the angle of that question, Bob, and I appreciate it. But I'll tell you one guy, albeit in basketball, Jay Ladner's not the youngest guy on the block. Now, he's not the oldest guy either, but he seems to have been able to grasp the transfer portal pretty well.
Effectively.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, effectively, no question about it.
But I do agree. I agree with the point I think you're trying to make, is maybe the younger guys are a little bit more attuned to it.
I think so. Bottom line, Andrew, they got to get somebody in that can get this thing turned around, start selling tickets, generate some fan excitement. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to get this right. You got to reestablish the brand. You're trying to set yourself up financially, and I've said this before on the show. Jeremy has, you know, the early part of his time as AD has been cleaning up the last 10 years and trying to put the school or the programs back in a spot where they're stable and can make moves and do that to try and get that positive momentum really going and start setting yourself up for the future. Especially in this new college sports world, you got to get a home run hire as a football coach. It just secures it all for you financially. And, you know, the other part of it is if you miss again, that's going to dig you in another hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you can only have so many holes if you're not in the SEC or the Big Ten or a conference like
that. Andrew, one of the guys that was getting traction early is Brian Vincent, the coach at Louisiana Monroe. Now, they've come back down to earth, and he was getting a lot of attention because of what he has done with Louisiana Monroe in just 1 year with all those new players coming in. With Louisiana Monroe coming back down to earth, if he was on that list, does he come back down now with the rest of the could-bes?
Well, let's make no mistake. Like, the job he has done at ULM is incredible. I mean, you know, nobody, I think, had them winning more than 2 games, probably.
Right.
And, you know,
right,
they're still in the mix of things. Let's not throw that away. But I do think his buyout is a bit high with his contract. I've read it's well over $1 million. You know, then you got to pay him his own set of salary. I think if you're another Group of Five coach trying to hire him away, that's a little steep, regardless
that makes,
of the job.
Yeah.
I read on the internet this morning, as you know, Andrew, you can believe everything you read on the internet. Actually, a fan posted that his inside sources told him that, you saw it, the coach has already been hired. There's absolutely no reason to believe that, right?
Yeah, I got a few phone calls about it already. From what I've gathered, that's not a thing.
All right. Hey, Andrew, we appreciate you, man. Really appreciate your contribution to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Anytime.
Okay. Andrew Rabbity, everybody. Pine Belt Sports.
I actually saw him watching the basketball game the other night. He was down courtside taking pictures, and Andrew got some.
Well, speaking of basketball, the Lady Eagles, I think, just finished playing, and their play-by-play voice, Jason Baker, is going to join us next as the Eagle Hour broadcasts from the Marion County Development Partnership in Columbia. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to Columbia. 2-hour version of the Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting from the Marion County Development Partnership, and our broadcast is co-sponsored today by Southern Jewelry Company, which is a great place to do a lot of Christmas shopping, and by Crane Tractor Company here in Columbia, and we really appreciate the support of those fine businesses. Let's go straight to it. Let's get back to Jason Baker. Jason just finished the call on the Southern Miss Lady Eagle Blue Mountain College basketball game, and a good win for the Lady Eagles, Jason. You said they look really good.
They did. Maybe some of the best team basketball I've seen them play in a long time. Every player but Jamie Gallatly, which is one of the new freshmen from Australia, so 9 of the 10 scored a bucket today. You know, you're seeing some growth within this team, and I think that's going to be a theme of this team. You know, with the departure of Dom Davis from a year ago, it was a year ago's team. You kind of knew what you had, and you knew what you were going to get. I don't know that you'll know that right now with this year's team, but what you hope to see is improvement from game one to game two, which I thought we saw today. And then, you know, come Monday night, the opponent will get tougher, and you hope that you see growth from, you know, Monday night on into, you know, from today into Monday night.
What do you think about this? Is this a dilemma, Jason? And that's that the backup to Malia Grayson is not on the team this year. And Malia is the heart of the basketball team, but she can't go every minute on the floor. Do you think they found someone that can come in and give her a breather without giving up your presence in the paint?
Well, I think that's the key. The last phrase of that is, you know, the substitution pattern won't be like Malia because we don't have another one, right? But I think what you've got is an athletic post in Jemiah Evans, who went for a double-double today. She had 11 points, 17 rebounds. She's a junior college transfer, so she's not quite a freshman. She's going to get acclimated to Division One. But I don't. There's no one for us that can simulate what Malia brings to the floor in any sense of that matter. I mean, but I think what you can see is we'll play a little different style maybe when Malia goes off the floor. Maybe a little more up and down game in transition. Although, honestly, it's maybe one of the more underappreciated aspects of Malia Grayson's game is her ability to get up the floor in transition at times and help us in the transition game. She can handle the basketball too. And so, yes, Bob, I think that maybe the biggest question is like, okay, what are you going to do when Malia goes off the floor? They had a freshman in Whitney Hart who was going to play. She tore ACL in fall camp. And so, unfortunately for us and her, we'll miss that this year with Malia being there. And the sad part for me in that is she's missing a year of getting to practice against Malia Grayson and understand what it takes to be that level of a post player. And so that was maybe one of the biggest, you know, detriments to this team early on, and it was the injury to Whitney Hart. She would have played, and she would have played a lot, and she would have brought a lot to this team, but she just won't be available for us, at least to my understanding, for the rest of the year.
In kind of an unusual morning contest, the Lady Eagles have defeated Blue Mountain College 87-60. Jason Baker with us on the Eagle Hour. Jason, certainly Blue Mountain not in a category with Southern Miss, but the Lady Eagles coming off the trip to Bowling Green last week. From what you've seen of Sunbelt talent compared to Bowling Green more of a litmus test for the Lady Eagles. How would you compare what you saw in the Bowling Green women's team to, generally speaking, other Sunbelt teams?
I'll put it this way, Kelly. To this point of the season, which is obviously so early, I'm pleasantly surprised with this crew. I didn't know what to expect from us offensively, and I'm still not quite sure we know. And so when you lose a generational talent like Dom, you just don't know what the team is going to look like without her, right? And I think sometimes we were so Dom-dependent in the past that our offensive rhythm and offensive flow suffered because of that. So I think this year's team understands we don't have a Dom. We don't have that player, that guard at least, that's going to go out on any given night and get you 30. And so I'm pleasantly surprised where we are. Bowling Green is going to finish in the top five in the MAC. You can book it. Now, their second-best player did not play against us in a guard. And Lexi Fleming, they'll get her back, my understanding, in a couple weeks. So, look, I thought it was a great opportunity for us to measure where we are against the Sun Belt, or rather against the MAC, but kind of realize where we're going to be in the Sun Belt. And I think this year it's a Sun Belt conference on the women's side that lacks stars. Now, I think the men's side's got a bunch of stars, but I think on the women's side of it, I think you've got a lot of teams put together without a lot of just elite scoring guards that we've had in the past. And so from the perspective high above right now, two games into the season, it could be anybody's race. I'm sure somebody will differentiate themselves. James Madison does have a couple of players that are like player of the year type candidates, and they should separate themselves. But I think overall, the totality, to answer your question, across the league, is, you know, at this point, I think it's certainly going to be, you know, anybody could come out of this and be a contender.
Well, Jason, you just ruined Bob Getty's day.
Jason, have you found a sport yet that James Madison isn't good in?
No, I'm unaware of any so far. And look, I don't I don't have the baseball schedule in front of me. If they're coming into Pete Taylor Park this baseball season, Bob, I'm here to tell you, maybe the best player in our league is a guy by the name of Fenwick Trimble for JMU. He is a fantastic player.
On.
We saw him as a freshman 2 years ago. So I hate to burst your bubble there.
James Madison.
He's so annoyed with James Madison, he's given him another name.
James damn Madison. I'm just tired of him. Hey, Jason, I don't let you go without pointing this out to our listeners. I told you off the air, I think the two toughest people I've ever known of in my life are Donald J. Trump and the head women's basketball coach, Joy Lee McNellis, in Hattiesburg. Fractured vertebra, and she's coaching today. Is that right?
That's correct, man. And look, Bob, I think if her family and her doctor would have let her, she wanted to come to Bowling Green. But luckily, I think the people talked some sense into her to say, not sure you're built for a 2.5 hour flight up there and a 2.5 hour flight back. But Bob, she is, man. I have known her for a long time. It's crazy now just how long I've been around this program and alongside of her and the visits. And we've had emotional visits, and I'll tell you, Bob, she has a passion for what she does. She has a determination for how she's going to do it. And frankly, there's just not a lot of things on the planet Earth that are going to slow her down in doing what she wants to do, which is coach this basketball team. And kudos to her today. Now, it's a little different style for her now. She's coaching from a chair and sitting down a lot more, but she's still getting her point across, and frankly, I just told her this on the post-game show. It was therapeutic for me to see her back down on the sideline with this team because, frankly, I think this team, and especially just because of, you know, not a veteran presence of a team, that they need to see her, and they need to hear from their head coach. And so it was awesome today to have her down there on the sidelines, and, you know, I thought the team responded to it.
I don't want to reveal anything. I'm not going to reveal anything I shouldn't, but I'm going to read this to you, Jason. Tell me if this is a surprise to you. This was a text exchange she and I were having last night, and here's what she says. I'll be ready to come on the show next week, and I'll be at the game coaching them up tomorrow. Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. I was thrilled. I actually found out yesterday she was at practice. I was thrilled. I haven't had a chance really to sit down and interview her at least on purposes of the air, and raced over here, and she was as good a spirits as any person I've ever seen with a broken vertebrae in their back. I mean, she was happy, genuinely engaged, happy to be at this facility practicing, coaching her basketball team that she's recruited and built here. And you know, I think somewhere deep down inside, Bob, it's therapy for her to be here. With the ongoing cancer battle that she's going through. I think any moment she gets to be inside Reed Green Coliseum or around this basketball program, it's got to be therapy to her.
My respect for her is unlimited. She's an amazing lady.
Hey, Jason Baker, I want to ask you real quick, because you do play-by-play on the ESPN Plus coverage for Golden Eagle football, and certainly not making light of what has been a really tough season. I don't think lots of times people understand that play-by-play guys are, you know, lots of times they do as good a job as the teams do as far as getting into the games. You know, when games are competitive and it's a one-score play either way, you're really into it as a broadcaster.
Harder to do games that are not that way.
I agree. That's what I was going to ask Jason. How you handle that as a pro, Jason, when the Eagles just have not been very competitive? How do you stay on top of your game?
I appreciate that compliment, Kelly. I really do. It's tough, fellas. It's not been easy. Matter of fact, y'all sit and watched it as well, right? But when I hire these color analysts or ask them to come do this, one of the first things I ever tell them is the hardest thing you'll do in this sport is either getting blown out or blowing people out because your lack of intensity, focus, and you know, it's just been that kind of year for this football team. I just try to approach each one with, you know, you take the game as the game lays itself out. You tend to build feelings going into these games that you think how the game will play out. Of course, you never know how they'll actually play out. And then you just try to prepare and build enough information and gather enough information that you think you can do as professional a job as you possibly can. And, you know, Austin and I pride ourselves on knowing our opponent, for one, and then you know, trying to find any inkling of positive within this football program to portray to the country and to portray to our fan base. I'll tell you, it's been quite tumultuous. It's not easy right now, but I'll try to do the best job to my God-given ability Saturday night against Marshall. It's just one of those things right now. It's just tough with where we're at as a football program, and I don't think there's any one portion of that you can point to anything to point to the blame to. It's just how we are.
Thank you, Jason. Always fun talking to you, man. We appreciate
you. Absolutely appreciate the opportunity, fellas.
We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Welcome back to our edition of the Eagle Hour from the Marion County Development Partnership. I want to thank Andrew Abney from Pine Belt Sports and Jason Baker, play-by-play voice of the Lady Eagle basketball program, for joining us. In the next hour, Luke Johnson, no stranger to anybody, of course, going into the M Club Hall of Fame Friday night, and he's going to be on the show. And Columbia has a new football coach, Lance Pogue, who has, what, only 5 state championships in his resume, Kelly?
Yeah, I think anybody that's familiar with high school football has heard the name Lance Pogue. 5 titles at South Panola, now the new head football in his first season at Columbia High.
Good. We asked Lori to come back on the show, and she'll be joining us again next hour. We overlooked something that I couldn't believe it when we found out. The real Budweiser Clydesdales are going to be here.
That's right. They are the Honey Island Clydesdales from Honey Island, Louisiana. They are very famous, have done several of the commercials for the Budweiser Clydesdale commercials, and they have been coming for quite a few years. At least one night of our Christmas celebration, sometimes more than one weekend, they'll be here. But they give rides through the lighted downtown in the buggy behind the Clydesdales.
Oh,
it's
wow,
really a lot of fun for people to take part in that. It's a real good experience, and it's a fundraiser for our local fire department.
Well, you want to talk about getting Christmas card pictures?
Oh, that's
the Clydesdales. Oh,
I do
gosh.
Want you to know, my wife and I get out of the golf cart that we're given when we come down here. We're going to be on that ride, and maybe we'll pass you somewhere between here and the school when you're trying to walk downtown.
Yeah, well, I'll give you the one finger Italian salute as you do that.
Kelly's right. What a perfect Christmas picture that
is. Oh, yeah, it's great. We have a couple of publicity photos of them in front of the courthouse with the, you know, they're all decked out.
Anybody that has ever seen them, the first thing they all say is they are marveled at the immensity of these animals. You talk about majestic. These are the biggest horses you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
I mean, their legs are bigger than a lot of people's bodies. You know,
yeah.
So really something
beautiful.
Yeah.
Speaking of the courthouse, I know the courthouse is always beautiful down here at Christmas. Is it going to be lit up and decorated?
It is. That is my understanding. I am not the last word on that, but the city is. The city does all the decorations and so forth. And yes, my understanding is that it will be decorated and lighted again.
We ran out of time in the first segment. I was just about to talk to you about this. I just think there's something so wonderful about small town Christmas parades and how people come to them. And I grew up in a big city, but my wife grew up in a little town up in the Delta, and she talks about how her family would go to the Greenwood Christmas parade every year, how much they'd look forward to that. That's still a big, big deal here, isn't it?
It is. We have a great Christmas parade. It's in the evening, so the floats are decorated with all the Christmas lights, and some of the people really spend so much time and effort creating some really beautiful, extravagant floats. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, church groups and school groups that participate and come through. It's a lot of fun. We have anywhere from 60 to 80 entrants each year. It varies depending on the date and when they can come and be a part of it. But it is a great experience. We have Marching bands.
Yeah, gotta have a marching band.
We try to make sure as many of our local band, local high schools can be in it and participate as possible. So we love to have our marching bands in them.
So when do you start working on all of this? I mean, it's starting Friday night and it's going through Christmas. When did you start planning this year's event?
So we set our Christmas parade date last January. And those, you know, you, of course, the effort increases as time gets closer, but yeah, it's all, we start right after Christmas ends. We start with thinking about the next year's dates and what that will look like.
I want to talk about the merchants, and I want to talk to the listeners about the merchants. You all hear about, you know, online shopping and stuff like this. It is getting harder and harder for your local merchants and mom and pop shops.
Great point.
To survive. And if no other time of year, you get behind these merchants, because when your kids need a contribution to their junior high program or to the yearbook, it's these merchants that are writing these, you know, $25, $50 checks to make sure that your kids get funding.
Amazon's not doing it.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. They're not. None of this online stuff is. And that we've got to, in America, keep our small businesses. That's the backbone of any community, of these small businesses. And if you don't back them, they're going to go the way of the buffalo. And that would be a real tragedy.
It is. And, you know, Kelly, the economic development data backs that up, because most jobs are created by local small businesses. Most the economy of a local company turns over in the local economy about three times more than a big box store does. So it really, that is what fuels the local economy, is the local business.
So I salute them, Bob.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. We're not going to let you off easy. You're coming back next hour, okay?
Okay.
All right, Luke Johnson, when we get through the news break, back more Marion County Development Partnership. Christmas season kicks off for me when I come down here. I'm glad to be here. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Marion County Development Partnership, sponsored in part by Southern Jewelry and Crane Tractor Company. Really appreciate their support. And, of course, Lori and Carolyn are just always awesome to us. And she'll be back on the show here a little later. Still to come as well, Coach Lance Polk, who's the new head football coach here at Columbia High School. He's going to join us momentarily. I don't know why he's only won 5 state championships. We're going to ask him if he could have done a little better.
Well, we'll have to. He's been slacking here lately.
Yeah, I guess he's been slacking off. Only 5 state championships. Speaking of champions, Luke Johnson goes into the M Club Hall of Fame tomorrow night. And he did send me a text and said after tomorrow night we are to refer to him as Mr. Johnson.
Oh.
So I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. Are you nervous, Luke?
What's up, guys? No, not nervous. It's just going to be a great night. I'm really excited to be there. It's an honor to be there. And, no, do not call me Mr., Doctor, anything. Just call me Luke.
You know, Luke, years ago when you were chasing that Cal cornerback for 100 yards to try to win the football game, you didn't catch him quite. But
still chasing him in my dreams. I still have that.
Were you thinking in that night, one day, because of this play, I'll be in the M Club Hall of Fame?
No, I was not thinking that. I was getting asked on the sideline by Wayne Hardy why I cut his ankle off and we didn't make the tackle, but no. No, it's one of those things that, you know, it was enough for me to growing up in South Mississippi and being a junior Eagle, and, you know, I was probably in the Rock probably 6 months after I was born with mom and dad taking me to games. And, yeah, I mean, it was enough to – I remember the first game that I dressed out for was my true freshman year. It was TCU in the Rock, and just being out there and having a Southern Miss jersey with my name on the back of it. And, you know, I was on – D-Nix was one of my teammates at the time, and, you know, Jeff Kelly was our quarterback. And being out there with guys that I had watched, you know, play football, and that was enough. And then, you know, being a regular, you know, on as far as the next year backing up Mark Allman, and then for 3 years being a starter, I mean, that was enough. And, you know, the team captain and the postseason honors that came in were over the top. But now it's yeah, you just have to pinch yourself and just say, wow. I mean, there's a whole lot of people that deserve to be in, and I'm just kind of, you know, amazed and very humbled and honored that I get to be a part of it.
Luke, in my opinion, and I'm not saying this to be patronizing, just because of the way you lead your personal life, you've always been a great ambassador for Southern Miss, but does this kick it up a notch? And if so, how?
Well, you notice that I got nominated to M Club, and then I left the Eagle Hour because, you know, so I don't know if those
– We did notice that, yes. That came to our attention, Luke.
I'm kidding.
We've discussed that.
No, not at all. It's – you always want to be a great ambassador, and for me it's unique because so many people don't know about Southern Miss. They get recruited. They come either as a student or a student-athlete. They fall in love with the place. And, you know, they become great ambassadors. It's extra special for me because I fell in love with the place as a little kid. And I was, you know, in South Mississippi, sometimes, you know, when even in South Mississippi, sometimes you're there's less people wearing black and gold. And so growing up, you have to, you know, you have to stand up for your school more than other people. And so, you know, I've been fortunate to be a Golden Eagle every year of my entire life. And so it's an honor to be able to talk about it in good times and tough times and more pleasant times and less pleasant times to just sell people on why we believe that the university is a special place.
Luke, I want to talk to you about not only the football season, but the, you know, the coaching hire coming up. Other than just winning football games, What is the university going to have to do to get people back on campus and going to games? I ask that question because I think the younger kids coming up, they're so addicted to their phones and video games and things like that, the emergence of the Southern Miss esports programs, that kids are just getting away. They're just not as football savvy. They just don't seem to be as football crazy as a prior generations. So how do you get these people back?
Well, I mean, you start off, what, the whoever the new coach is, his first game will be against Mississippi State in the Rock on August the 30th. I mean, that's a way to get people back in the Rock. But yeah, I mean, I think your point is on a regular basis, and
right,
it's winning. I mean, that's what it is. And I think we've said this for several years, and I think it's now 99% of the fan base. I think people want someone that doesn't necessarily know whether it's Hattiesburg or Hattiesburg. I think people would be okay with a coach who has to learn that we are the university. We are USM, not Southern Miss University. I think that people would be even happy with a guy who's motivated to maybe not be coaching in the Sun Belt within 3 years because all he does is win. I mean, I think that's where you're at now. And I think when, you know, they hire somebody and that guy, you know, begins to win. And again, you don't want to throw unrealistic expectations, but we see how rosters are being flipped, and we see how, you know, in the same way records are being flipped, that it's possible to do it in a year. And so I think, Kelly, I mean, it all starts that way. It's when you win, and you've got Jack State coming in next year. So I do think some of this, though, to your point, the rise of technology in the last 10 years, at Southern Miss, we haven't been winning consistently.
Right.
And so we may be feeling, you know, that a little more than other schools, what you're getting at.
You played for an old school coach, Jeff Bauer, and I'm curious to know what as you get ready to go into the Hall of Fame tomorrow night, what has Jeff Bauer meant to you in your life, Luke?
Well, I text him this week, and I will see him and he and Miss Debbie tomorrow night. And you know, he's the guy that not only me but so many other guys. I think it was over 40 former walk-ons that they put on scholarship during our time at Southern Miss. I mean, Jeff Bauer is the reason why you know, I was able to play college football. I mean, he had an environment where that guys could walk on, and then he would give us a chance. And I'll tell you this. He never treated us before we were on scholarship any differently than the other guys who were already on scholarship, and he never treated us after we were put on scholarship any different either. I mean, he rode our tail, he demanded excellence of us, and he was one of those guys where midway through your career, you realize that he was what drove him in so many ways was his love for his players. And he was a guy who would take up for us. He would encourage us, and so I'm excited to see him tomorrow night. And you know, when my time comes and I'm able to speak, you know, tomorrow night, he will be probably at the top of the list of who I will personally thank. And I'm just thankful. It's an honor for me tomorrow night at the banquet for him to be there. And because so much of what I was as a college football player is because of Jeff Bauer.
Well, I guess he would be after the. Kelly and I get thanks on that list, right? We would be first on that list. I understand that correctly?
I mean, they have these things called appendices, you know, so
asterisks.
We're an asterisk on page 721.
We'll take it.
So let me ask you this. Coach Bauer was an old school coach, right? Very, very successful. Could a Jeff Bauer, and I don't want to say Jeff Bauer specifically, could a Jeff Bauer coach be successful in today's environment of college football, Luke?
I mean, from a culture perspective, sure. I mean, from a player relationship, sure. From a program management, sure. I mean, you know, he was a good foot. I mean, just like a good football coach, but he knew how to. Here's the secret of Coach Bauer: he knew how to get the most out of the guys that he coached.
He knew
exactly what it took in order to motivate and to appreciate. And I mean, he would have different ways of doing that. And that's what the secret was: is that he loved us and. And he respected us, and sometimes we didn't feel that. Sometimes we felt that greatly. At the end of the day, whenever you graduate from Southern Miss, and particularly guys like me and my class that were there for 5 years, we could look back and we could say, he really cared about us. He just didn't care about that we got him wins. He cared about us as people.
I think as you go back in the history of Southern Miss Athletic Department the past 40 years, and this would be arguable, but I think you go back 40 years, the biggest mistake anybody in the athletic department was dismissing Jeff Bauer.
No, I don't even think there's an argument.
Again, hindsight's always 20/20.
I don't think there's any argument to that. You wouldn't disagree with that, would you, Luke?
I mean, I thought it was when Sander got his practice pass revoked. nefarious activities.
Yeah,
no, it was a wild day. thankfully. There's an academic center named about him. Thankfully, he's at all the sporting events because he loves the school, and I'm so thankful that tomorrow night at the Hall of Fame banquet, he'll be there, and I'll be able to give him a big hug.
Luke Johnson, I'm going to speak for everybody at Super Talk that works with you. We're really happy for you tomorrow night. We love you, dude, and we think that tomorrow night is well-deserved.
Love you guys, too, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
And we believe him when he said all the tickets he had he already gave those away and didn't have any for you and
he
me.
He never told me that.
Actually, Bob is helping me on that front, so there we go.
Yes. All right. Luke Johnson, everybody. We'll be right back from Columbia.
I just want to be loved.
There we go.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the Eagle Hour. I want to thank our good buddy Luke Johnson. Really proud of him going into the Southern Miss Hall of Fame, M Club Hall of Fame tomorrow night. And such a great guy as Luke. Also want to thank Andrew Abbey and Jason Baker for joining us earlier in the show. We're very happy to have the new head football coach here at Columbia High School, Lance Pogue, with us here at the Marion County Development Partnership. And Coach, congratulations, and how you like it here in Columbia?
Thank you. I tell you, it's been a whirlwind. I got here, I always say that coaching changes. The timing's kind of always etched in sand. You know, there's never anything perfect, but kind of happened in the mid to late part of May, and I got down here, and certainly that's not an ideal time for a change, but circumstances with the previous coach and all with his family. And Dr. Harris, the superintendent, I knew him from a long time back. He was the principal at Tupelo when I was the head coach at South Panola, and he called me up, and we talked about it. I came down, and I said, hey, this kind of reminds me of a little bit of, on a smaller scale, of when I was at South Panola and Batesville, a lot of the same type things, and obviously a smaller school. But, boy, it's been great, but it's been running uphill, seems like every day.
Beautiful facility.
No doubt.
You've got a great facility to play in, right?
Yeah, a new stadium, just fantastic. Turf field our superintendent and our people here are aggressive, and they want to step forward. And I've often said Dr. Harris, I think, has been here 7 years, and I knew when I crossed paths with him before, he would be a superintendent. You could just tell that. And I've said this a lot of times. I think he's shown some people here maybe what they didn't know that they could have. And, boy, he's advanced it. And we all understand the academics, that's a given, but he understands the whole student and being involved in whatever programs it is, the arts, extracurriculars, and athletics, how it kind of helps shape the kid in more ways than one.
With the resume that you put together, Coach, including 5 state championships at South Panola, it'd be easy for you just to go to the house. You know, what was it that was about this particular job that said, you know what, I'm getting in?
You know, I love kids, and I've always said this about myself. I've been blessed in athletics, and I never have been one. Anybody knows me knows I never talk about myself, and I always say people can kind of look up the record book and see what I've done as being a part of winning. But to me, forming relationships, and in this day and age, kids need a guidance and direction more than ever. And I love the kids and trying to help them find a way to be successful. And there's no price tag for that. And so just the drive and the relationships that you develop with the kids and the coaches that you work with and all those things, that to me is what it's all about. I enjoy the Friday nights, but I just enjoy the interaction of the people.
Let me ask you 2 questions. Number one, years ago when I started doing high school play-by-play up in the Delta for Greenville St. Yeah. Joe High School, I learned very quickly going around through the Delta that high school football coaches they're more than coaches. For a lot of those schools that we used to travel and visit, I learned pretty quickly that the high school football coach was the father figure, the disciplinarian, in a lot of ways one of the most important people in the lives of those young men on the field.
Without question.
Is that a rewarding part of the job?
It is. And I go back to what I was saying a minute ago. You know, just when you develop relationships, and you can't trick kids. Anything, they'll see right through you, and they know when you're for real. And as soon as you develop that kid's trust, that's when you got him hooked, and they'll do anything for you. And I've always felt like I've had a unique ability to reach kids and to connect with them, whatever their background is, whatever their socioeconomic background. I just think kids are kids, and I've been able to develop relationships. And those things stand the test of time. But as you mentioned, the high school coaches, I know in my lifetime as a youngster, a lot of those helped shape me. And I knew at an early age, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, which is unusual, I thought I could go play for the Dallas Cowboys. But that ran out real quick. You know, that's a kid's dream. But I knew I wanted to coach at a young, young age. Mm-hmm. And I never wavered from that. And I think a lot of those, that direction came from, junior high and high school coaches when I was a kid.
Second part of the question is that through the years of this show, we've been on this show for 10 years, we've interviewed a lot of NFL players, sure. Current players, past players. Almost inevitably, You ask an NFL football player, who's the most influential coach in your life? And almost every time they say their high school coach. Why is that?
Well, again, I think that's just and I think that would hold water, with a majority of NFL college players, all the old ones. I think just starting out, they're young, and that's kind of where you get your first – you get shaped, so to speak, to start with. And those coaches making that initial impression on you. And I know for me, it was even back to Pee Wee League, and this would have been late 70s, early 80s, that just dads coached it. And I took they made an impression on me and developed – I've got friendships with them now. And then certainly in my junior high and high school, those guys helped shape and mold me. And, you know, as a coach, as a kid, I said I want to be a coach. I wanted to act and walk and talk just like those guys. And as you get older, you realize you got to be who you are. But that's just the impression that they make. And I hope that as coaches – and I've always tried to make this impression with my coaching staff – hey, we're here and we're charged with winning and losing. I get that. But at the end of the day, as long as you got that kid's best interest in mind, in whatever his daily life is, that kid will realize that. And I think that's what it's all about.
Columbia High School head football coach Lance Pogue is with us here on the Eagle Hour. Coach, I want to go back to the phenomenal success you had at South Panola. I asked some of your fans, you know, what was it about those years? They said one of the things that a lot of people didn't realize about the kids at South Panola at that time was a lot of these kids that came from homes where there was no air conditioning, no food. You guys had to have, you know, there was a refrigerator there where they could get food. They were in air conditioning. Otherwise, they'd have to go home. They would get up and go to the school at sunrise. They wouldn't go home until sundown because it was so hot in their own homes. So you guys were more than just coaches there. I mean, unbelievable.
It's certainly a unique place. Probably 8,000 population in Batesville, and it's a blue-collar community. And those kids love that school, but they love football. And I'll tell you, one of the things that we had that I've always felt was a big factor is, and we were able to win, but those young kids, even in elementary age, hey, they would play in the morning when you give the announcement. They would play the Tiger Fight song on the PA. Loudspeaker there throughout all the classrooms and make the announcements. And so those young kids grew up, hey, I want to be that next guy, and they idolized that. And I always told those older players, and I'll get to what you're saying about, but I always told those older players, and I tell these today, you never know when a young kid is looking at you and you're making that initial impression on them, they want to be like you. So make sure that you set a good foundation every day in how you act and how you do, because you know that youngster is looking at you, and he'll want to be like you one day. So you make sure that what he wants to be like is being and doing it right. And so, you know, those kids, we were able to connect with them. And I thought a lot of times we were more than just the coach. We were a little bit more, had a little more parental involvement as coaches, because those kids knew that we, whatever they need, we'd find a way to help them. And I wanted to shape those kids at more than just on the football field and to have an opportunity in life to be successful. And then you draw back from those experiences in football when you get older, and if we did it right, that'll stand the test of time. And when you get a note from a kid or a text says, hey, coach, years ago that played for you, that, hey, I really appreciate you, helped make a difference, you could have give up on me earlier or whatever, those kinds of things way more mean more to me than a scoreboard. And I think that's what it's all about.
It's hard to believe, though, sometimes that even in this day and age that there are kids that are living in houses with no air conditioning.
It is.
Very limited food resources, and you guys provided a lot of that for them at the school.
Try to help them every way we could. And we knew about some of those situations and all, and we wanted to help kids get beyond that, and some, I could tell you some stories on some that now have done really, really well and overcome that. And so that to me, that's what it boils down to and what it ends up being all about.
You're one of those coaches, and forgive me, I forget the gentleman's name, but when I was back in the Delta, there was another coach at Rosedale.
Leland Young.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
That just like you, every year they won, right? What's the secret sauce?
Well, first of all, you got to have talented kids. I think that's a given, good players. But I think the biggest thing is earlier is connect with the kids, and when they believe in you, they'll play hard. They'll lay it on the line for you. They'll spill their guts for you. And if you give them an opportunity to be successful, and what I mean by that is if you put a scheme together that plays within the framework of their ability and never ask a kid to play outside of his ability, that's unfair. And if you do it that way, Those kids will lay it on the line, and Leland Young's a hero of mine, but I thought we were able to do that at the places I've been too, and I think that's been a big part of it that we found.
Is Coach Young still alive?
He's not, but been gone a little while, but there's another one that's made a major league impression on numerous amount of kids in his lifetime.
No doubt. But going back to Southern Miss, I mean, you followed Bobby Collins.
Yeah, you're a Southern Miss fan.
Jim Comey.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I grew up back, and, you know, as a kid, and I'd see Southern Miss play Mississippi State and Ole Miss. They made Mississippi State and Ole Miss quit playing them in the late 70s and 80s because they couldn't beat them. I mean, Reggie Collier, all those guys, Bobby Collins. There's some assistant coaches that I'm friends with today. Bill Clay, Mew Clay's a guy that coached defense for those for Coach Jim Carmody was a hero of mine. And,
Shook Jordan.
Yep, I heard you guys mention earlier Jeff Bauer. And, I mean, my gosh, almighty, what would you give right now to have him back?
A lot.
You know? And so, but those Southern Miss teams played it the right way. They were tough, blue collar. Some of them probably felt like they were picked over, and maybe Mississippi State or Ole Miss wouldn't take them, but they'd get those kids and beat them every year just with toughness and guts. And I don't think there's any substitute for that. But Southern Miss has always prided herself on that, and maybe they can get back to that.
Tell us about your Wildcat team, Coach. You got one regular season game left.
Got a really good football team. We're 7-3. We lost to Petal earlier in D'Iberville, 7A schools. We're 4A, and we're in those games into the second half, but I thought that would make us better. And right now we're on a 5-game winning streak. We got them all healthy. Playoff start this week. Never take anything for granted, but you want to be your best at the end. And I felt like our team, as we started the year, would get better as the year went along, and that's kind of happened right now. I got a great staff. This is a great community, and looking forward to making a run at it.
Sixth state championship?
Well, I'd love to hope so, but got a ways to go.
Coach, you kind of remind me of a lot of great coaches. The first thing he talks about, he didn't talk about the wins. He talked about the losses.
Yeah.
Do you remember the losses more than the wins?
Yeah, sadly so. Some of those haunt me, and I remember them, you know, more than that's backwards and the good wins and all, but they seem to stick with you more. But, man, life's tough, and you just move on from it. But, absolutely, I've got two or three games that keep me awake at night, and some of them were a long, long time ago, but that's part of it.
Well, when you've only lost probably six career games to begin with, it's not hard to forget.
Well, I've been blessed, and I tell you, I've been able to be around a lot of great people in my time. Been coaching right at 35 years, and you know, I've got a great staff now, a lot of young guys, and, boy, they're fun to be around. And so, you know, try to help these young coaches, too. I want them to be successful. They'll be a head coach one day. And things that I do if I can help them, again, that's part of relationships, and that's try to help them every way I can.
When will it be time to go to the house, though, Coach Pope?
Well, you know, I can't put a time frame on any of that. I'm having fun, and I'm enjoying it. I feel like my wife and I just had our first grandkid about 6 weeks ago, so I feel like I've got a shot in the arm. I'm 55, but I feel like I'm 35, so I feel like I got a lot of gas left in the tank.
But is it when it becomes no fun?
The coaches that I've always been around will say, hey, you'll know when it's time, and there's no textbook to ask, but it's fun to me right now. And if it gets to a point that it's not fun or I don't think I can be a contributor, I don't know, but I don't think that time's coming up anytime soon.
Good for you.
Well, one last question, Coach, before we let you go. How are the differences here in places you've been previous?
Well, I tell you, the support I'm getting from the administration, I mean, there's no price tag for it. Our administration, our superintendent, boy, he puts a premium on athletics and all the extracurricular activities for kids. But he believes in a winning football program, and I think he understands how that can be positive for the school. And I've been blessed with that in a lot of places. But just the community here, the support, people have been unbelievably nice to me, and I know how much it means that they want to win. And we'd love to win another championship. A lot easier said than done. But again, I just think the value that we put on it here of the overall school, of how athletics is a supporting arm of that, there's no price tag for that.
All right, Coach. We sure appreciate you coming and talking to us.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
We'll be right back. More from the Marion County Development Partnership right after this.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're at the Marion County Development Partnership, Super Talk Mississippi. Of course, back on the air with you, Super Talk Eagle Hour. Lori rejoins us, And Lori, I'll let you introduce your guest you brought with us.
Yes, we are so happy to have with us Larry Russell. He is a representative from St. Luke Home Health and Hospice, who is that is our parade sponsor this year. So it is the St. Luke Parade of Lights. We're so happy to have them support us at our Christmas parade.
Mr. Russell, if I told you these ladies on a scale of 1 to 10 are like a 25, would that surprise you?
Probably about a 30.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. Lori, talk a little bit more about the Christmas Parade and how this fine organization is involved.
Well, MCDP has been the management behind the Christmas Parade for several years, and St. Luke has been our sponsor now for at least 2 years, if not three. I know that they are this the second year that they have been the sponsor. So we are so happy to have them do that. And they also always produce some spectacular floats. These people work hard to make our parade not only successful, but also beautiful.
What is it, sir, that makes your organization want to be involved with these fine ladies in this great Christmas festival head on here?
Well, at St. Luke Home Health and Hospice, we're involved in our communities. We service 15 counties in this area, neighboring counties, and it's just we like to get involved to make a difference. And here in Columbia, we love the parade. We've been doing it for quite a few years and then sponsoring for two. And we go all out on our floats. It's kind of a time where we get together as a team and we even get closer, and it's a lot of networking, fun building, and just a great experience.
So when do you start working on your float every year?
We've already started. We start early and work up until the time of the parade.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about St. Luke. Tell us about your organization.
St. Luke Home Health and Hospice, it is a Mississippi-based company, and we take care of our communities with home health and hospice. We employ about 150 employees, and we go from anywhere from patients that have just gotten out of the hospital that needs home health, you know, all the way even up until hospice, where we're working on the journey of their life and making a difference in there. So we're very excited what we do. We're here to make a difference. And our slogan is like, if you open up your home, we open up our heart. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we do.
It's got to be tough, though, right?
It's really not. If it's your calling, it's truly not. We're making a difference. And I have chills now talking about it. It's not hard. Mm-hmm. If you're in the right place and doing the right thing,
But the service you provide to people at that moment in their lives and their families' lives, they're just as affected, I guess, as the patient. Got to be really rewarding if you know you're helping them.
That's right, it is. And you become part of their family. Mm-hmm. As time goes on with care, whether it's home health or hospice, you're so involved with them. And we have a team approach. We have chaplains, we have volunteer coordinators, we have nurses aides, we have physical therapists, we have a very strong physical therapy networking of staff. So it's just many different areas we can touch and many different lives.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. 150 employees you were talking about. Look, geographically, where, or is it all over the state of Mississippi?
No, it's more the southern part.
Okay.
We go all the way over to Forest County, to Jones County, and then all the way back across to over in Franklin County, Pike County, and up to Crystal Springs area, Georgetown, and all that area.
And I think I'm a pretty smart guy, but sometimes when you hear the term hospice, most of us assume that truly is toward the end of a person's life. But you look at, like, President Jimmy Carter, for example, who has been in hospice now for 16 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what is the definition of hospice?
With hospice, in years past, you had to be like 6 months life expectancy to be on. And if that didn't happen at 6 months, then you were discharged.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they saw that we were not taking care of all the population like we should. So they extended that. It's still the 6 months, but patients can stay on hospice as long as they're declining some and we're making a difference in their life, then we can keep going on hospice. So And, you know, statistics show that if you have a diagnosis for hospice and you go on, you're going to live longer on the service than you would without it, because not only do we take care of those other diagnoses and your hospice diagnosis, and you get more care. It's just structured that way.
Interesting. Good stuff. Yeah, good stuff. Lori, let's review all the happy stuff again, okay?
Okay.
It starts tomorrow, and I want you to run through the whole scenario.
The whole scenario. Okay. We start tomorrow evening, more than 25 shops open from 5 to 9, and Saturday, 9 to 3 at the Holiday Open House. Then on November 30th, we have the St. Luke Parade of Lights, mm-hmm. and also a Christmas marketplace in the downtown area. That's also Shop Small Saturday. So as Kelly pointed out earlier, that's the shop local emphasis that we like to talk about on that Saturday. Then,
and that is the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
It is, yes, yeah. The Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Which is when most people are really in holiday.
That's right. So we'll have the Christmas marketplace downtown all day long, and then we will really have a great celebration that night with our St. Luke Home Health and Hospice Parade of Lights. And then the weekend of December 6th and 7th, we'll have Festive Friday and the Spirit of Hope Saturday with community caroling and block party on December 13th and 14th. Again, Friday night shopping hours and the spirit of charity or giving, where we'll have our charitable events happening in the downtown area. And then we'll finalize it with December 19th, 20th, and 21st, the Spirit of Faith with the Nativity presentation all three nights, which will end with beautiful fireworks and at the end of the Nativity presentation. So,
and the Facebook pages and the website addresses where people can
visit Columbia MS and visit ColumbiaMS.com. You can also get information on the MCDP Facebook page, MCDP.info, and also Main Street Columbia is another one of our collaborative organizations.
So it's the 19th through the 21st that my angels are here.
That's exactly right. That's when you need to be here.
Yeah, I beat that down in the ground, but it's just, if you haven't seen it, I mean, it's just... It gives you chill bumps when you see it. It's just so, so, so cool.
So those would be Bobby's angels, not Charlie's angels.
Right? I guess that's one way. Again, Lori, I want to apologize for bringing him. I didn't think he was coming. And when I got in my car, he was sitting there.
You had no choice.
They brought way too much pizza. Somebody had to eat it.
Yeah, I know. We're going to watch you on the way out, too. Let me assure you of that.
I'm going to need a to-go box.
Lori, Marion County, Columbia is such a great community, and there's just so much Americana about communities this size. And we just had your football coach here.
Mm-hmm.
How important is that to the community? Not the football coach, but Columbia High School.
Oh, it's you know, we have Columbia High School, and then we also have our Marion County schools and the private school, Columbia Academy. Those activities for our students, they are so important to the entire community. When one of the teams is successful, we all are successful, and so we all come out to support anyone who's having a great time, and we all commiserate with one another when it's not been such a great year,
so
as well.
Shout out to the West Marion Trojans, the East Marion Eagles, the Columbia High Wildcats, and the Cougars of Columbia Academy.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
I was driving by Columbia Academy one time to go back to Hattiesburg, and on the sign out front, it mentioned a woman's name, eighth grade math teacher, Cougar of the Week. I said, I'm not sure if I would want to be listed as the Cougar of the Week.
Again, Lori, I want to apologize for breaking.
We
you're used to him now.
Yeah. We always expect it from Kelly. Yeah.
You know, and of course, we're familiar with it, but when you come to Columbia, if you're a football fan, you know this is the hometown of arguably the greatest football player that ever lived.
We would like to think so, yes.
I asked you before we went on the air, I want to ask you this, our listeners can hear this. Is Walter Payton's memory such now that maybe new businesses, industries that are talking to you and Carolyn about Columbia, do they Is that something that ever comes up?
It does come up. Yes, and we have, not only does it come up with new businesses that are looking at potentially moving here, but also we have tourists that come by. You know, we have a sculpture of Walter Payton at our Columbia High School, and they come by here to see where he played, and Columbia still plays on the same field where Walter played, and he is a great attraction for our community.
Sir, thank you for coming down to join us.
Thank you for sponsoring
the Christmas parade. It's so important, so Americana, and we appreciate that. We're going to wrap up our show from the Marion County Development Partnership. Lori, we'll get you to stick around. We'll be right back, everybody.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I want to thank all of our great guests today. Andrew Abadie, Jason Baker, Luke Johnson, Lance Pogue. That was great talking to him. A great legendary high school football coach. I want to thank Southern Jewelry and Crane Tractor Company as well, because I know they participated in this event today. And all right, Kelly, let's do the news and notes, and then we're going to finish up with Miss Lori here.
The Lady Eagles winning basketball this morning over Blue Mountain College, a rare morning affair at the Greenhouse, 87-60, the final score. The men are back in action tonight, albeit on the road. They are at UAB. They are a 14-point underdog as they go up to UAB to take on former Conference USA foe UAB. The Eagles early on, Bob, playing some pretty good competition in the MAC Challenge. Bowling Green now going up to play UAB. These would be some good wins if the Eagles can get them. That there will be ESPN Plus coverage of that, plus the Golden Eagle Radio Network. And the volleyball team finishes out the regular season with a series with Troy today, tonight at 6 o'clock, and then again tomorrow against the Troy Trojans. That's a home series with Troy at Southern Miss. So
great having Coach Pogue here, and to hear that he grew up a Southern Miss fan. He knew all about all the legendary coaches and all the great years at Southern Miss, did he not?
And it's, you know, some of the younger people always go, gosh, I wish you old guys would give it up with Reggie Collier and Jeff. It's all you guys talk about. And I said, well, it was a great time.
That was an awesome time.
You know, and we'd like to get back to those times, you know, so that you guys could talk about, you know, extended wins at Southern Miss.
Well, Lori, first of all, thank you and Carolyn for bringing us down here today, feeding us, and you're always so kind to us. And this is just such a wonderful event, and we certainly enjoy it. And we just want to encourage everybody that listens to this show and all of Super Talk, whether it's the podcast, the live broadcast, bring your family down here on a Friday or Saturday night when you've got the nativity scene and the fireworks and all the stuff. It's just such a boy. It's almost like a Hallmark movie when you come down here.
And really, they bring their families here all year round, particularly the baseball complex that is now 2 years old. There's tournaments just about every weekend. I don't know if you have any numbers, Lori, about the financial impact that those baseball fields have had, but it is amazing coming down here every week. I know the restaurants are doing very well around the ballpark.
Absolutely, yes. We do have, you know, we talked about some of the numbers that the Christmas event has brought in over the years, and the ball fields are bringing in those same type numbers over the, so over the course of a year, the ball fields may bring in a couple of 100,000 visits.
Good
so
gracious.
That's incredible.
And these towns that go, oh, we're not going to build baseball fields, nobody's going to come. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's significant. And we call that the Yards, and it's been very successful since we opened it. And there's still some expansion going on. We're adding soccer fields that are supposed to be coming up, and also including some renovations and improvements to our tennis courts that are there. So we're still building the facilities that will serve our local students and youth as well as regional folks who
did
come.
Did you say 100,000 people?
Yes.
Bob, every weekend at these fields over here, and they're right off of Highway 98. They're real easy to get to. Every weekend they've got tournaments there. And their kids from 6 years old all the way up to 14. I mean, they're running them in there. And because they're turfed fields, mm-hmm. you can play in the rain. You know, they're mm-hmm. they're crowned, so they drain beautifully.
Right.
It's amazing how much money, you know,
right.
can be
yeah,
brought
it's,
in something
it's,
like that.
It's significant for our economy because of the additional money that's spent when they come here to stay and to eat and to buy gas.
And really nice parking lots, and I know that because I get thrown out just about every time.
Yeah, I can understand why.
I watch the games out in my car.
Understand that why. All right, tomorrow night, Christmas shopping kicks off. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Tomorrow night, holiday open house in Columbia, all across the city. It's not only in the downtown area. There are businesses, boutiques, gift shops that are open all across Columbia. We have maps that are available, so if you stop at one of the spots, you should be able to pick up a map so that you can make your way all around town.
Lori, you know, about every 7 or 8 years, Kelly makes a good point, and he certainly made a good one today about the importance of supporting the local business. And on the nail, those are the people that your high school goes to support the cheerleaders and everybody else. So don't do all your Christmas shopping on Amazon. Is that not a good thing to say?
That is, you know, we love to say that for sure, because those dollars that are spent in the community locally get turned over so many times, and they multiply within the community mm-hmm. and support more activities and more families. And
they provide jobs.
That's exactly right.
Plus, a lot of the money that you're spending online, those companies are giving that money to businesses or political movements that you want no part of.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a way that people who think like you, worship like you, you know, benefit from those dollars. Man, I'm fired up about this. I feel strongly about it.
Well, it is, you know, we employ our neighbors and our friends and
right.
our families, and it's important.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thanks for being here.
We appreciate you ladies having us down here. We want to encourage everybody to come enjoy Christmas in Columbia, Mississippi, as we conclude our broadcast from the Marion County Development Partnership.
I'm going to go by CA. Am I going to find out who the Cougar of the Month is?
We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
At least Bob will.
Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.